We have one question back here, and one here, and then a few more over here afterwards. Yeah, your turn.
Yes, my question concerns an issue that we discussed earlier concerning phosphates and nitrogen, and you're only removing 85% based on current technologies. The comment was made that, you know, there's about 1 metric ton of phosphates and nitrogen that will be going onto the bay on a daily basis. Is that correct? Based on the initial scale? And that would ramp up as...
No, that's the full build-out.
That's at full?
That's full build-out.
Okay. So that's based on the
33,000.
Okay. And so there's going to be another facility in Bucksport that'll have... that'll be a 50,000 metric ton facility?
So
they have a permit for 5,000, but they have said that eventually they will have 50.
Okay. So eventually... there will be a substantially more phosphates and nitrates going into the Penobscot Bay. Who monitors that anyway? You know, the BOD levels, the phosphate levels. Yeah.
So what we committed to in the public information hearing was to do. First of all, what was asked earlier, are we willing to cooperate with bodies here in Maine or locally that are competent on this? And the answer is yes. And that would include both our discharge pipe, but it could also include far field monitoring, which I think makes a lot of sense. So in this case, it is correct, it's for the full discharge. Fully expanded facility that we're talking about. But if you compare that to other facilities, you will see that that actually discharges lower than much smaller facilities that we're actually producing from here in Belfast. So I think in terms of the other facility coming up, I would assume they'd be subject to much stricter permitting requirements on discharge and when they apply for expansion. In the future. So that's something that authorities, I believe, will be looking into. So what the scientific assessment based upon monitoring reports historically says is that the discharge we have for a fully expanded facility is about 1% of the total nitrogen going into the bay today.
So they've done studies?
Yes. That was percent.
Its impact on the aquifer system in the Penobscot Bay region, or?
And so this specifically was presented in the information meeting we had regarding public information meeting regarding the discharge permit, where we also referred to scientific studies of the Penobscot Bay that has been done regarding sources of nitrogen that are currently going into the bay.
I'm curious where these studies came from. Is it the University of Maine program?
There are references to this in our application. I don't have it off the bat, but we can certainly provide you with that. And again, what we used also were analogies in terms of the discharge from lawns compared to this. And you don't need that many lawns discharging before you actually have the same levels as we're talking about here.
So it's a big lawn.
You'd be surprised actually how much lawns discharge. So there are many, many natural and unnatural sources of nitrogen discharge into coastlines in general. And of course, our common objective is to minimize that. And that's why we're investing so heavily in taking down nitrogen.
That study didn't take into account wind.
Huh?
Last time, the scientific study didn't take into account wind.
That's a different study than he may refer to. That's a different one.
This is for discharge into the bay today on nitrogen.
This is a percentage of how much this would contribute, you know, nitrogen compared to other contributors. What are questions over here?
Yeah, thanks. I want to address two different questions. One is how, and one is why. We've been talking. Office, and you sat with me for 2 hours working to stop a lot of corporations and frack industries and everything else that's never happened. I also came into the office and I was met with some hostility. There was an apology, but there was hostility. My concern is that I've been labeled by the head of the Chamber of Commerce as xenophobic. I've hosted people from over 100 different countries in my house. I've been attacked by the Republican Journal for just standing up and being a citizen with dialogue, and there's a toxicity in the how. And so I just want you to look around the room, and this is a message to the City Hall. This is a message to the Chamber of Commerce. This is a message to Nordic Aquaculture. This is a message to the Republican Journal. I want to invite you to silently stand up if in this process you have felt, and this is just feedback, so that you can take it in and hopefully adjust so that the town isn't ripped apart. If you felt silenced, if you felt intimidated, if you felt labeled, if you felt attacked, if you felt disempowered, if you felt ridiculed, if you felt not listened to, I invite you to stand up. So I ask everyone to be silent in this, and just I want people to look around the room and see how many people are standing up. That's a chunk of the community. I'm speaking on behalf of my family and another 20 people who couldn't be here tonight. So I want everyone to look at the how of what's happening and how can we do a process where people aren't feeling shut down or silenced. And that's what I think this country is supposed to be based on, is dialogue. And that when we dissent, it turns out we're silenced. The next question, thank you for standing up, is the why. I want to stand by the people in Belfast who are being pushed out because property values are going up. I want to stand by folks who work in the lobster industry. I'm from Gloucester, Massachusetts. And so all my friends get pushed out of that community from wealth and money. And so my question with why is, why does Belfast want to affect our water and affect our ecosystem and affect our town to produce a product that is for middle and upper class people? We're not feeding the world. Salmon is, I wouldn't choose, as you know, to buy fish farm salmon, but nor can I afford it. And so that's another question, is the why. Why does Belfast, working class people, people who are in the shipyard, people I respect you so deeply that you're out there getting lobster, my friends, some who've lost their lives on boats, these local people that are common people in Belfast, not the people who come here from out of town and some are here from California, why do we want to create a product that most of the common people in Belfast can't afford? This is wealth versus the haves and have-nots. So that's a question, is the why. Why do we want to do this?
Jobs, dude.
Yep. Well, I would love a product that local people could afford and eat and enjoy. So thank you very much.
I think what's also important one thing is the jobs, and we really do hope that we can also sell the fish here locally in the community. I think part of it also, when we have fish for sale, we will look at how we can cooperate with the community. From my understanding is that a lot of kids in elementary school is on food programs. Could we contribute, you know, to that kind of programs, for example? That's important for us. We're part of the community, and we want to contribute back to the community as well. So we don't see that this is going to be solely something that, you know, the upper middle class and the rich people eat. It's also going to be a food that will be provided to the community. Okay, bye.
I have one question. In your environmental studies of the bay, how much consideration has been given to the, I don't know if this is the right word, accelerated warming of the Gulf of Maine, and how a dramatically warmer bay will be able to handle your effluent?
We're talking about several drops in a bucket. The bay is absolutely massive, and there will not be a significant temperature difference between the outfall and the receiving body. So there is in no means enough energy being introduced to the bay to create any type of impact on the temperature regime, and that is one of the parameters that is regulated, is temperature of the receiving body.
Well, I'm actually not talking about what temperature might be added. It's, I mean, the the Gulf of Maine is warming at a dramatic rate, I understand, and it's partly due, I really don't understand the process, but partly due to the fact of the melting of the Greenland ice sheet. And from what I have read, the Gulf of Maine is warming 99% faster than the rest of the world's oceans. Maybe that's not true, but I have read that in the paper. And so I'm just curious about if that is in fact true, if the bay is warming that fast, is any consideration been given to how a different temperature Penobscot Bay, a much warmer bay, will handle the effluent from your plant? Is that in my view?
Yeah, I mean, the concern you bring up is a big one, and it goes for many things. For example, what is the future of the seafood industry in this state? We have lobstermen here, I'm sure, who's concerned about what's happening to the climate as well. We have modeled all these things. We also know that what you say is true, is that there has been warming along the coastline. We've seen this elsewhere. We see migrating fish populations happening in Europe and Northern Europe as well. The modeling we've done shows both temperature and the key nutrients are going to background levels within 10 yards of the discharge point. So, and given the very small volume, even it sounds like a lot, Carter here has calculated the total volume of this bay. It's quite an exercise. it's insignificant, the effect that what we put in there in terms of the temperature impact and the nutrient impact in the big picture. But it is a consideration. I agree, and we have discussed it and we have looked at it, and we feel confident that this is not something that's going to be driving big change with those temperature increases.
Okay, we have a question right here.
I'm just curious, you did mention property taxes, and that's what I have heard in town, that our property taxes will go down with the coming of your company. So I wondered what your contribution, your tax contribution, is really going to be to our town, and if it really is going to lower our taxes, it'd be a first.
I think probably you could answer that better than me.
So, the entire, the round numbers, the entire current tax base for the entire city of Belfast is $750 million. This project, with a full build-out, they're talking about a $500 million investment. There'd be significant expansion of the tax base. Certainly, as you expand the tax base, there are changes to school and county funding, which somewhat reduce the benefit. It is only a partial reduction of the benefit of new investment. So, if you expand the tax base and keep spending the same, you will necessarily lower the tax rate. I cannot give you a specific number because of all the different variables. Certainly, because they spend $500 million, doesn't always exactly match $500 million of new assessed value. There are also programs such as certain properties exempt from taxation. So I cannot give you a specific number, but we would be expanding the tax base significantly in Belfast.
So if the city's excited to have it but doesn't know how much it'll add?
I cannot give you the exact number.
Well, I think that's a range. I mean, if the city's so excited about it, the tax base, but you say, well, we don't know what that is.
No, I said I don't know what exactly would be.
And I said, can you give me a range?
Well, if you expand it, let's use very round numbers. And you, that would be, if I do the math right, you'd be reducing. If you had no reduction to the subsidy from the school and county, that would be a reduction staying exactly the same, which it won't stay exactly the same. But for this example, you would have a 40% reduction in the tax rate. Now, I will say, when you have new investment, and we have looked at this with other projects, generally the benefit is reduced by about half due to lower subsidies of school and county. So if you reduce that 40% by half, maybe it's 20%, and that is still a lot of variables to come up with an exact number.
The city hasn't done that.
We've assessed it, which is a completely different department than mine, and it actually is affected by what ultimately happens with the school and county taxes. So we have to speak in round numbers at this point, but certainly when you have a tax base of only $750 million and you add $500 million, necessarily that's a big expansion of the tax base.
Taxable $500
million? No, he said no.
No? Okay. So to go into more specifics, yes, the project more or less would all be taxable. Certain business equipment is eligible under the Business Equipment Tax Exemption Program, whereby they would not pay taxes to the city. They would be certainly exempt on certain property. They would not have a taxable on a portion of it. However, that is a program by which the city then gets reimbursed by the state to make up for the foregone tax revenue, which still comes back as a revenue stream.